Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Friend of the program, Mitch Sherman, is here to talk some spring ball with us. We're going to get to Mitch in just one moment. Real quick, spring ball is almost over, but the Common Fans are not going anywhere. We're here to get you through the dog days of summer, right up to fall camp. It's going to be football season before we know it. Go to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. You can keep up with every episode. You can access all of our written articles. You can subscribe on YouTube and do all the things. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube anyway, but go to commonfan.co, sign up for the free newsletter, sign up for all the things, and we're going to keep coming at you one episode every week until football season starts, at which point we'll be doing more than one episode a week. So hang with the Common Fans, get to commonfan.co and check out all there is to offer there. Also go to cpbeef.com, get the best beef on the planet, Nebraska beef raised and grazed in the beautiful Sandhills region of the state. You can find it at Certified Piedmontese. And if you go to cpbeef.com and use the promo code COMMONFAN, you can get a 25% discount on anything that's not already discounted on the site. CP Beef will ship to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. Go to cpbeef.com, use the promo code COMMONFAN. One more thing, our friends at the Husker Army podcast have a cool event. I've partnered on a cool event with Tyson Terry. This is the defensive lineman out of Omaha, the guy who was 160-0,
really good wrestler,
as a high school wrestler, won a state championship on a torn ACL, for crying out loud. Tyson Terry will be signing at Walk-On Cards in Fremont. That's at 1023 East 23rd Street in Fremont. That's Walk-On Cards and Collectibles. And that is Sunday, April 27th from 1 to 3 p.m. Getting the Tyson Terry signature now, guys, is like getting Uber or Apple stock, like at the beginning. Okay. Get the Tyson Terry autograph. Get to this event. Touché. This guy's going to be a beast.
That kid needs a nickname. Tyson Terry. How about like TNT? TNT
Terry. Go. Nice. Boom. Nice, Mattio. Love that.
No pun intended.
Friend of the program, Mitch Sherman. Mitch, this is like number 4 or 5 time that we've had you on the Common Fan Podcast. Something like you deserve a jacket or something at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a green jacket fits the season. Yeah. I think that would be appropriate, or a red jacket. You know, to stay with the theme. Remember when players could only sign autographs and get paid for it after they had expired all of their eligibility, and after the bowl game in the winter, they would go around and sign autographs at things like card shows or at basketball exhibitions. And how insanely dumb that looks now when you've got an incoming freshman concept. who's signing his name and getting paid as he probably should have been all along.
Yeah, that feels like a lifetime ago, Mitch.
Yeah,
I don't remember that actually. No, I'm just kidding. Would they ever go to the Village Inn? You remember when about once a year there'd be about 3 Kansas City Royals players who would come sign autographs at the Village Inn? Yeah, my dad took me to that a few years.
Why ago. The Village Inn? Why?
Because it's a fantastic restaurant. I love Village
Inn. Get a skillet and some pancakes while you're there, and get some autographs.
You get a skillet and a pancakes and Brian McRae's autograph. You know?
Yeah, I remember seeing some Royals at Hy-Vee at some point. They did a caravan event that was there, but the Nebraska football players, it would always be at some of the most random places. My dad, when I was really young, my dad was in management at Food City, the old grocery store on 120th and Center in Omaha. And I have a memory. It's not like I remember being told about it. I actually remember meeting Turner Gill in the liquor department at Food City and meeting him. And I think I got his autograph like on a little scrap of notebook paper. And then I wanted a second one because it was so cool. And I made up a story about how I had to go back and get one for my friend who wasn't there. And so he personalized it and signed it to some non-existent person, like to Joe. Tim. Who's that?
That's great.
That is outstanding. I also love Turner. You know, Turner was probably, you know, having trouble. The guys weren't grasping the option. He was getting frustrated. And so he needed a bottle of brown stuff or something. And I love that. That's where you met him.
Yeah, I mean, he was of age. Yeah, I hope he got out of there with something good as a partial form of payment for his appearance.
I love that. I love that. Mitch, real quick, what's going on at the Locked On Nebraska podcast? You can also find Mitch's all his great stuff at The Athletic, of course. Subscribe there and check out the Locked On Nebraska podcast. What are you guys doing over there right now, Mitch?
We're just making it through spring like everybody else. We've been doing that for a year, the whole Locked On thing, which is pretty cool. Of course, The Athletic is the main source of my work, but definitely having fun with Connor Happer on the Locked On Nebraska podcast, and we're doing like 30-minute episodes every morning. So just trying to stay up on what's the most interesting topic or couple of topics of the day. Had some fun with the whole James Williams conversation earlier this week. That seems like a month ago now, the kind of week it's been. You don't expect like the fourth week of spring to be the one where a lot of stuff happens, but I guess with the portal opening on Wednesday, that and coming down to the end of spring, or maybe some decisions need to be made about what they're going to do, what they're actually going to do. They've been talking about this thing, the Husker games next Saturday, and nobody really understood what it was going to be other than like a garage sale and facility tours. And then we're taping this on Friday. So yesterday, Thursday, we got some clarity from Matt Rhule. So a lot has happened this week since the James, usually on Fridays on Locked On, Connor and I will do a mailbag and kind of just review the week, get our listeners to hopefully ask questions that allow us to review the week, or if not, make up questions that sound like our listeners are reviewing the week. And we didn't even get back to the James Williams conversation that was on Monday, just because it feels like so much has happened since then.
Well, we may get to that if we have time today, but before we completely jump in, I just wanted to chime in, guys, and say, our dear friend here, Geoff in Lincoln, Jeff. One of the most, I didn't realize how humble you were, Jeff. And I shouldn't say it like that, but you're so humble. You didn't tell us you were the closest to any of us to playing major college football. Story came out this week that Mike Leach had the idea of putting a little person in the backfield and having him be thrown over the line of scrimmage in short yard situations.
What the hell is your problem?
And so Geoff would have been absolutely perfect for that role. If that had caught on, I have no doubt Geoff would be a Husker legend. And so hats off to you, Jeff, in this Easter season, your practice,
thank you,
humility in the way of our Lord. So thank you, humble leadership.
In some ways, Dana Holgorsen is like the living embodiment, like the memorial tribute to Mike Leach. Perhaps you could, you know,
I might have some eligibility left, Mitch.
Yeah, you could maybe work something in there with him, and they could throw you over the line. I mean, I heard that Leach got talked out of that. Nobody's talking Dana Holgorsen out of anything that he wants to do with the Nebraska offense. So if he wants to throw somebody over the line of scrimmage, then he's probably going to do it.
Dana, I know you're listening right now, so hit me up.
Let's
I'll
go.
Give my cell phone number, my email.
Let's go. Well, yeah.
Let's do this.
Dana's obviously a regular listener, so we'll be in touch, Dana. Right. But this is going to – I love it, Mitch. This is a great idea. Jeff, we're helping you. We're bringing you opportunities here.
I mean, you pair that with my 7-minute mile, and I am quite the athlete. So
that's right. Unverified and 25 years ago, but that's fine. All right, Mitch, speaking of Dana Holgorsen, it's been curious to me that – Rhule and Holgorsen and everybody keep talking about the offense and basically saying we're going to do the same stuff we've been doing. The terminology is the same, the schemes are the same, et cetera, et cetera. But you have to assume Holgorsen will put his own imprint on the offense and sprinkle some Dana Holgorsen magic on it. At least we all, that's what I think about when I'm falling asleep at night. I'm hoping for what will Nebraska's offense look like under Dana Holgorsen?
I don't think it's going to be the same offense to start with that. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of the same pieces or some of the same pieces. I mean, you can look at Dylan Raiola and Emmett Johnson and Ja'Cory Barney and, you know, Luke Lindenmeyer. There's players there, a couple of offensive linemen or maybe more than a couple. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't the same offense really in the final four games of 2024. I think as much as it changed, probably not the first week, but after they had a little bit of time to get settled after Holgorsen did, you saw it change and probably just get more whittled down to the things that he found fit the players who were in the system. I think the change from the end of 24 until the beginning of August 28th of 25 is going to be quite a bit greater than you know, what we saw over the course of late last season. I mean, the one thing about Matt Rhule that he makes no, doesn't even try to hide at this point is his only job, and he said this on Thursday, is to win football games. And other coaches in the past who have had other tasks, who have tried to do things other than win football games at Nebraska, have lost their jobs ultimately because of it. So I don't think there's a lot of benefit for Matt Rhule to give away a whole lot of what Nebraska wants to do offensively, defensively. I mean, you might say, oh, it'd be nice for the fans to be able to eat that up in the offseason and have things to get excited. No, he's kind of done with that. Like that's maybe Matt Rhule of 2023 and 2024. I'm not saying that he's all of a sudden going to become paranoid and just hide everything, because I don't think that's in his personality. But there's also just there's no plus side to giving away what they plan to do offensively. I think, yeah, Holgorsen, time to tinker, time to bring in some of his coaches, some of his pieces that he has through the portal and through recruiting. They're going to do different things. I don't know exactly what that's going to be. They're not going to go to the air raid, but I think you'll see some two back, which we didn't get a lot of in a bit at the end of the season. I think you'll see more of that. I think you'll see some four wide receiver stuff, three wide receiver stuff. You'll see double tight ends. I don't think the offense is going to look quite as gimmicky as it did at times in 2024. And what I mean by that, it seemed like at times last year, Nebraska's bread and butter was like an end around or, you know, a shovel pass or the kind of stuff that like works if you do it once or twice a game, and Nebraska was doing it like 8 to 10 times a game. Mm-hmm. It'll be different in the sense that they don't do that. They don't hang their hat on that. So, but yeah, whatever changes there are, I think when we get to like the Michigan game, which I believe is the Big Ten opener at the end of September, you're going to look at the first three games probably and say, all right, yeah, that offense was different than what Nebraska ran in 24.
Well, it certainly will help. I think we think we've got a guy in the backfield, right? The Common Fan podcast is big. We're big Emmett Johnson guys. He's the head honcho. There's no questioning that. We talked about this a little bit with Evan Bland. You know, there's at least a little bit of concern. I think if you're looking at the roster, what's behind him, you know, there's not really any experience there. Quentin Ives seems to be kind of a favorite amongst the coaches. But Mitch, do you think that they go and try to get maybe a running back in the portal or something just to kind of shore that up? Or you think they're just that high on Ives and some of the other guys?
I think they'll look. I think they're legitimately comfortable with the 1-2 punch, but it takes more than that. And they know that, the coaches know that better than anyone. I don't know that they're comfortable with what they have at three right now. And that would be Mekhi Nelson, most likely. I think if they're making a depth chart today, it's Johnson, Ives, and then Mekhi Nelson, the redshirt freshman who was a late add to the recruiting class a year ago and was impressive, according to coaches and players on the scout team, but they have not talked as highly about him. Like, he's in the category of players who still need to get a lot of reps. So if you can go find somebody that you can plug in and be ahead of him, then I think they'll explore that possibility. I don't know if that back's in the portal. I don't know if that back's going to be in the portal. If he is, I don't know if he gives Nebraska the time of day. Maybe he's already there. Certainly took notice this week to see that Marty Brown, the former Omaha Creighton prep back from North Dakota State, who was a top freshman, maybe the top freshman in the FCS last year, ran for 1,100 yards, went into the portal. But I'm not sure if you were to pursue him and get him, is that because he's an Omaha guy? Because at this point, I don't think that matters. Like, if you want him, you better want him, whether he's from Omaha or New York, whatever.
Sure.
So is he better? Like, if you brought him in, would he immediately, or could he by the time the season began, him or any back, become the second or third option? That's the question I think that these coaches have to ask themselves with the running back spot. I'm with you guys. I'm not entirely sold that they have all the depth that they need there, and they're going to have to stay healthy. That's you just can't afford to have an injury or two there. I think they'll look, and I'm not convinced that they're going to take action.
How much fun would we have if Marty Brown joined the team? We're already calling Emmett Johnson Emmett Brown, as in Dr. Emmett Brown from Back to the Future. If we got a Marty on the team as well.
Oh, wow.
I wonder why. So he was Marty Brown at prep. I saw him playing in high school, and he was Marty Brown.
Run for
Marty. And then he became Charmar Brown, which I'm guessing is not his given legal name. But Charmar is what he's gone by at NDSU. The Marty Brown thing is really intriguing as a Back to the Future. I'm like a huge Back to the Future fan.
Yes, yeah, so are we.
To have like a Marty and a Brown in the same name. Mm. Actually why he switched names, because he was so tired of people like referencing Back to the Future when his name was called. Like, he probably had teachers in high school who were like, Marty Brown, what? Yeah. What is this? Have you seen Back to the Future? Yes, I know the movie.
Probably got called Slacker a lot. Slacker. Mm-hmm.
And his name is Marty, and he's a running back. Like, we'd be saying, run for it, Marty, all yes. season long.
Yes.
All the time.
Miles long. Per hour.
All the time.
Miles per hour.
88 miles per hour.
1.21 gigawatts. All of
it. He's the DeLorean of running backs. Yes.
We could go
yes.
on and on. We go on forever. We could go on this whole episode, Common Fans, with the Let's Back to the Future references.
Mitch, so Dana Holgorsen had a press conference last week that was pretty interesting. He went over a few things regarding wide receivers, and we're in that time of year right now, I think, where, and TJ and Matt have talked about this before, where we've talked ourselves into believing that we've got so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball, many weapons.
That happens.
And then by the time the season rolls around, we're down to like one or two that we're confident in. But the one thing that jumped out to us was that Dana, in his words, actually said that Cortez Mills and Isaiah Mosey would be contributors this fall, and would play. And so that's awesome to hear. But what's odd about it is that probably around that exact same time, Hardly Gilmore decided he was going to leave the program. So I think what we were just kind of curious, was this a case of Gilmore feeling like he wasn't going to be getting any playing time or enough playing time? Or were there other factors that you might know about specific to him?
I think Nebraska decided that Hardly Gilmore was not going to be a part of the program anymore. Ooh. Just a team within the team thing. It's, each player's story is going to be his own, and they, you know, no two situations are created equal, and somebody else may or may not have had, a similar kind of track as Hardly Gilmore and still be on the team. But he's not here. So he did something something happened that led to his departure. I guess that's about the way I can be most. I mean, I'm not really in a position to just say, yeah, here, I know what happened and I'm going to tell you guys. Like, it hasn't, right. nothing's been reported and it's all kind of murky, yeah. but like it didn't work out for him. And he didn't have a choice in the matter to go depart. He's yeah, back at Kentucky. Like, he landed back at Kentucky in the portal. Yeah. So
there goes.
It sounds like one of those things where you just hope the kid made a stupid, you know, mistake that a kid makes and he's able to figure things out.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be fine from it. Like, it's not going to derail his career. You know, he was able to go back to his old place, which is probably the best case situation for him. He doesn't need to learn a third coaching staff in just a period of months. Right. I mean, he's a young player. He was very young for his grade as a college freshman. And you know, he could go be an all SEC guy. I mean, he has that kind of talent.
Well, there goes our Happy Gilmore references and jokes.
That's dang it. Back to the Future, Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a lot of good references here. That's just one last. Damn it.
Mitch, do you get the sense that they feel pretty good still about the wide receiver room absent Hardly Gilmore?
Yeah, I don't. I think he would have been a complimentary piece this year. Probably somebody in the category of players that was with the freshmen, and Cortez Mills and Isaiah Mosey might have been in a spot to do even more than Hardly Gilmore. I'm not sure he had a year on those guys as far as his college development, but not so much in like the overall life development. I mean, they were similar age in chronological order. They feel good about the top four, and you could see that by the end of August extending to the top seven. So you have Ja'Cory Barney, Dane Key in no particular order. I think Dane Key is like the leader there, just because of his college experience, 3 years at Kentucky. So you got Key and Ja'Cory Barney, Isaiah Hunter. It has been a stock up. Guy this spring who's really come a long way, and he's got size. He's 205, 210, and according to Holgerson, he plays like it. He looks like it. It looks like a good 205, if that's where he was at when we saw him the other day. And then Janiron Bonner, people forget, he's a Swiss Army knife. He's back. Like, they can run the ball with him if needed. He can block. He can play tight end, hybrid tight end. And he's a receiver too. So those four are at the top of the heap for sure. And then you slot in the freshman, and it's a redshirt freshman in Quinn Clark, who's highly regarded in the program and was one of the players that I think a lot of people expected last year around the time of the bowl game or even slightly before that would break out. And it didn't quite happen, but he was getting good reps at practice, and they love his size and just the catch radius, that kind of stuff. And then we've mentioned the two true freshmen. I think there's some others. I mean, there's like Keelan Smith, who's been hurt this spring, son of Neil Smith. You know, Quinn Clark, of course, is the son of Ken Clark. So talking about a couple of ex-Nebraska greats. And you know, that gets you up to like seven, even potentially eight wide receivers. So they feel good. They feel good there. It's not like they have this abundance of so much depth and talent that you can afford more things to happen, like what went down with Hardly Gilmore, but they're still in good shape. And I like the mix of types of players they have in that group. I mean, if you just look at the top four, you have some size, you have speed, you have, you know, I think a slippery guy in Barney, you know, somebody who can run a defensive player over in Bonner. Key and Hunter are more combinations of those things, and they're sure-handed. It seems like an upgrade in what Dylan Raiola has to throw to versus 2024. But, you know, going into 24, we thought Jamal Banks and Isaiah Nair were like the perfect combo for him. And while they both had moments of effectiveness, it didn't turn out to be everything that we expected.
Yeah. So keeping it with the offense, and speaking of Dylan, and I wrote about this a little bit this week, but they're, you know, we're recording this on Good Friday. It'll come out Monday. Hope all the Common fans had a happy Easter, by the way. But this last week, the college football universe was kind of overtaken by the news out of Tennessee about Nico Iamaleva, if I'm saying that right, the quarterback who started as a freshman last year and was set to come back by all accounts, a pretty good situation at Tennessee. They're a playoff team last year. Coach Heupel appears to have that thing rolling. And news broke. He skipped practice on Friday, April 11th. Then he skipped the spring game on Saturday, April 12th. And as of this moment, he's no longer with the Tennessee program. Now, there are conflicting reports about the why behind it. A lot of people thinking that he wanted more money from Tennessee. You also had a report of a family friend basically saying, no, his dad was just wanting to make sure they're shoring up the offensive line or the wide receivers. Seems odd to me that you would essentially hold out if you felt like you needed a new left tackle or something. I mean, I'm assuming this has to do with money, but let's be fair. Nobody knows for sure. But what jumped out to me, Mitch, was sort of the contrast of what we see from Nico and Dylan Raiola. And look, Raiola's getting mm-hmm. paid, and he's going to get paid too, and he's going to make sure he gets what he's worth. Like, no, we're not naive here. But when you see Raiola, everything we've heard, he's going on, when high school recruits come, he's going on the facility tours with them. He's reaching out, what Naziah Hunter said about, he hit the portal. First guy he heard from, coach or player, was Dylan Raiola. Raiola is clearly—
not just from Nebraska, but from any school.
From anywhere, yeah, right. And I mean, and he said, you know, Raiola would be the first guy invited to his wedding or something like that, right? You hear this over and over. Dane Key has talked about him. He and Emmett hang out all the time. You see him in the community, not just other Husker sports games, but high school basketball games and that sort of thing. In addition to, you hear about how hard he's working. He's in the film room. He's taking boxing lessons. He's doing all these things. I mean, that's a full-time job in and of itself. On top of that, he's making himself the face of the program. He's committing to getting talent to Lincoln to make the program better. That is such a contrast to what we're seeing what we saw in Knoxville. I'd just be curious your thoughts on that.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with the healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And I like we I want to have the rose colored glasses. I want to believe Dylan is, all in, but it's hard to argue anything else, right? I mean, the guy is fully committed to trying to help build a winner in Lincoln. It sure seems.
It's pretty interesting that rival fan bases love to hate him. And I don't know, I guess it's all about like the Mahomes stuff. So he wears Patrick Mahomes' number, does some of the, I don't need to spell it out. You guys know, like everybody knows the Raella Mahomes comparison, whatever. Trains with the same coaches in the off season or away from Nebraska. Like, it's, if you have the ability to do that, cool, go ahead and do it. Like Dylan's 19. So he wants to kind of pattern some of his stuff after the best quarterback in the world. Oh man. I struggle a little bit to understand that being the source of hate against him, but that's kind of the world we live in and what it's like out there for college football players and college football fans. And some of it too is that he was a five-star and a high-profile guy, and he certainly struggled in moments last year, especially in the middle of the season. Nebraska could not win games when it had opportunities to win games with its offense in the fourth quarter. So I think all of that kind of plays into the Dylan dynamic, which makes it even more notable, I think, that he has put himself out there and wanted to be all in the way that he has in such a public manner. He does a nice job, and he gets a lot of help here from the people around him. And of course, I'm talking about his family, his dad, his uncle, and just like the community of support that he has that goes back that way predates his time at Nebraska. He does a great job. The Raiola team does a great job of seeing the big picture. And it isn't so much in the big picture for him to be squabbling with his school about being the highest paid sophomore QB in the Big Ten or the highest paid sophomore QB in the country or whatever, on par with this guy. Like, if you do it right and things work out the way that they are confident that things will because of his talent, then like, this is all small potatoes. Like, the big payday is down the road to come in the NFL. You don't need to like create division now. It's extremely counterproductive, and it's going to cost you if that's the way that you act while in college. Like, all of the NFL eyes are on these college players now to see how they're acting in the moment. And while if Nico goes on at UCLA, and it appears he's going to be at UCLA for his next stop, if he goes on and wins the Heisman or is an All-American, NFL scouts are going to overlook kind of what happened here in this holdout situation, for lack of a better way to describe it. But if not, and he's like a marginal guy, maybe he's a first rounder, whatever. Like, it's going to be a factor in where he gets drafted and how teams view him. So the more you can do to just prop yourself up, be above all of that, to rise above all of that, and to act like an NFL quarterback is expected to act, like a 28-year-old might act as a 19-year-old, that's all going to very much help Dylan down the road, assuming that he goes on and realizes his potential and at the end of his Nebraska career is somebody who's viewed highly by the NFL teams. Like, all that he's doing now, like, it's a long game that they're playing. It's going to help him down the road.
Absolutely. To your point, like, you're an NFL GM or a head coach, you're already seeing a kid that's putting himself out and really marketing himself, and you're looking at him like, that guy could be, if the talent's there and the results are there and the production on the field's there, that's a face of the franchise kind of kid. That's how I would look at it. Like, rose-colored glasses, all that, and we're biased, but I think for me, it's a Husker fan. So many of our quarterbacks over the years have been, I guess, for lack of a better term, reluctant to like embrace the fishbowl, right? So for me, it's like refreshing to have a guy that's really just putting himself out there saying, hey, I'm the guy, I'm the leader, come with me. So that's, I think that's really cool. And again, I know bias and all that, but anyway, Mitch, you kind of talked about it a little bit. There's so many evolving things going on with this roster limit. And a lot of uncertainty. For those of us who aren't following all the proceedings and all this, what's the latest with all that mess? Are we last time we heard maybe there's going to be a grandfathering, and it seems like it's always evolving. What's going on with that now?
Yeah, it is always evolving. Like daily, things are changing on it. And for a period of time this month, it looked like there was going to be an exception made for players who were in the program at the time that this house settlement was finalized, and you wouldn't have to be as a college program at 100 at a hard 105 in August. That maybe you could be at, say, 120. They might draw up a number, or they might look at your roster in order to determine that number. Maybe Nebraska could have been at 130 because that's where its roster stands, give or take a player or two right now. As of Thursday, the latest comments that we heard from Matt Rhule on this, it's going to be a hard 105. Like, that's the intel that he's getting from whatever he has inside. You know, just a week ago, he was telling us that, you know, he follows Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports for updates. Like, I think all of the public and some of the media are doing, you know, people who are cutting, you know, Stuart Mandel from The Athletic, who's covering the House settlement proceedings. But Rhule, as of this week, seems to know a little bit more than he did last week. And he's saying, no, we got to be at 105. So there will be a little bit of leeway on injured players. And you will probably be able to begin the season. You're looking at, like, let's say late August, you got to have a 105, much like the 53-man roster set in the NFL. And then you could say, hey, these eight players are injured and unable to play in 2025. So Nebraska will, they'll still be able to get the benefits of a football player. Like, maybe they can still make rep share money. They can still make NIL money. They can still use the training table or in the medical facilities and all of that. But everybody else is out. Like, there's no taxi squad. There's no JV squad. There's no, you know, nothing else. So if some guys are going to go in the portal still here before the end of next week or the end of this week, when this episode airs, August, April 25th, the portal will close. And then if you're not on the 105 beyond that list, you're just kind of done. Like, Nebraska can't hang on to you. I don't know that the going in the portal is that like urgent, because if you get cut from the team in July or August, you'll be able to transfer anyway. It's not like the NCAA is not going to hit you with like this double whammy and say, well, too late, you didn't go in the portal by April 25th, and you should have known that you weren't going to make the 105, so you can't go anywhere else. Like, there's going to have to be a little bit of leeway given to players who don't make the 105. And Nebraska is going to be dealing with more of these players than almost any program nationally, just because of the size of its roster. The Huskers have cut things down to get to roughly 130 right now. And they've got to add some players. Like, they've still got to go get a punter to replace Jack McAllister, who went in the portal in these last couple of days. So it's going to be fluid through the next 4 months. And there's probably going to be more pain and more difficult conversations this year, in the first year that this hard cap is implemented, than in any year in the future, because you're never going to put yourself back in a position where you have 130 guys on the roster in spring practice.
Right.
Yeah. I actually saw a quote from Matt Rhule just today, actually, from Brian Christofferson's account. And speaking of the transfer portal, he had said something that says, I don't think we need to add one thing from the portal to have a good team. I told our guys, the answers are in this room. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to go through the process. That doesn't mean I'm not going to look at what's out there. So it sounds like, at least he wants us to believe it, he's confident in what we have. But with that being said, you said they were probably going to at least take a look for a running back. Do you expect a ton of activity from transfer portal for the Huskers right now, or how much do you expect?
I don't necessarily think that they're going to look at running back any more than any other position. I think, like, if it was me, that would be a spot that I'd have my eyes open to, but they haven't said anything. In fact, every time they've been asked about running back and whether they'd go, they wanted to look in the portal, they've shot the question down and, mm-hmm. and said, no, we're happy with what we have. So that's more just like how I would approach it, but I'm nowhere near being in the position to make those decisions. I just think they're gonna have their eyes open for anything. If there's a defensive lineman, sure, you can always use another one. If there's a running back, they'll look. If there's a, you know, I don't think they're going to look much at DBs unless a bunch of players from Nebraska go into the portal from that position group. They're pretty set there. They're pretty deep there. They have their that's a yeah. spot where they're going to have to lose some bodies. Offensive line, okay, yeah, sure. You'd use another offensive lineman if somebody falls in their lap, but the numbers will be small. They have to be small unless they're really large on the other side of Nebraska players going in. They have to be small because you got to be at 105 plus a few injured players by the end of August. So I do, aside from punter, where we know Nebraska is going to add someone, I don't think they'll be 100% quiet, but I could see it being like one additional player. I wouldn't be shocked if it was something like that.
I'll be honest, I didn't know we lost our punter. That's concerning. I mean, after last year with all of these special teams debacle. Well,
it's an interesting story. It's a really, yeah.
Read the news, Jeff, and read the questions I sent.
I listened to that whole press conference last week, SOB. I did my homework.
That was last week's press conference.
I busted out a quote right now.
Yeah, good job. That was a good job on the quote. That's a good job on the quote. Shifting gears a little bit. Yeah. Mitch, you'd never know that Jeff was a co-host of a Nebraska football podcast. But anyway,
no, never.
Talked a lot.
It was only the biggest story of the day on like Wednesday and Thursday and Friday of last week.
His name is Jack McAllister, Jeff. Anyway, we talked a ton about the offense, a little bit about special teams, but I've been intrigued. I mean, honestly, I think it's been since before spring ball. Matt Rhule, John Butler, everybody that talks about the defense, the staff seems consistently confident that they won't suffer much of a drop-off, right? We all know the story. Tony White came in, flipped the defense, top 25 in total defense and scoring defense the first 2 years of the Rhule era. And I think any calculation of the team overall making a patented Matt Rhule year 3 leap has to include the defense. If the offense is going to take a leap, I mean, I guess the defense could fall off a little bit, but they can't fall off a cliff. What do you think of all this? What do you make of all this? I mean, I feel like to your point, they're saying less than ever as well. And yet they seem like committed to continuing to say the defensive mm-hmm. line, you know, we lost Nash, we lost Ty, we lost Jamari Butler. We lost all these guys. Defensive line isn't going to fall off, or the defense as a whole isn't going to fall off. What do you make of all this?
Well, I don't think they're going to say otherwise if they were concerned. They're not going to come out in the spring and sound the alarm bells. But I know, I think they're confident, and I think you can look around the defense, and while there are some things that raise a flag, like I'm not sure about the defensive line depth. I'm okay with the guys that they have at the top. I mean, I think now they're not returning regular starters, but I think Riley Van Poppel has been a big. You know, I talked about Isaiah Hunter in this category. I put Justin Evans in this category, the center. But Riley Van Poppel's right there too, like big stock up guy this spring. Elijah Judy, probably not far off from the same category. Like he looks different. They both look a lot different than what we saw when those two came into the program. Cam Lenhart, okay, show us. Like it's you've been there 2 years. There's been flashes freshman year. Like looked like freshman All-American type at times, and then other times on the field was he in the game that series, you know, and that's a young player going against Big Ten caliber offensive tackles. Sometimes you get neutralized, and it's not necessarily the faults of the defensive lineman. It's just like the give and take of winning battles. And as a starter now, or presumably a starter, Cam, like, he's going to have to win more battles than he's won the first couple of years at the line of scrimmage. And then they have a couple of very promising, big, really high ceiling pass rushers in Keona Davis, who briefly toyed with the idea of going in the portal back in December after Tony White and Terrence Knight and the defensive line coach left. But Nebraska, from Rule on down to Butler and Terry Braden, the new D-line coach, who was still like 2 months away from leaving the Chiefs at that point, but was also on board at Nebraska. Like, they did a nice job of convincing Keona that no, this is where you need to be. You know, Phil Snow on the defense, like, they're good. Another voice as a coach, like, they're good there. I think in the front five, the top five, but you know, there's a drop off. Like, they have to have, they've got to find a way to get more depth there. So I think that's a reason to be concerned. But overall, like, the playmakers on the defensive side, like the potential versatility with players like Deson McCullough and now Willis McGahee coming into his own and Vincent Shavers, and they've got what looks like a lot of depth and talent in the defensive backfield. Like, don't underestimate the reality that I think they should be a much better team in coverage, like having players who can go one-on-one in man coverage. Last year you were relying, after Tommy Hill got hurt, on a couple of safeties, on a couple of converted safeties, players in Marquise Buford and Malcolm Hartzog, who were better suited to play the safety spot. You were relying on them to be in your top three at corner, and it hurt Nebraska. It's part of the reason, a big part of the reason, that Nebraska struggled to get off the field on third down. So this year, right now, like, the signs are positive. You know, in addition to Sierre Wright, who was in that group last year, you have Donovan Jones, who made a big jump in the bowl season last year. You know, you have a newcomer in Andrew Marshall from Idaho, who should be that kind of a player. Mario Buford is a year older now and showed flashes last year also as a true freshman. Rule said he thought they had six starting caliber corners when he talked midway through the spring. So if that's the case, then that's a reason to feel good, not just about the defense in 2025 maintaining the level of play from 2024, but in some ways improving on it.
Love that. Hey, let's switch gears. Let's talk some special teams. I don't know if you guys knew this, but Jack McAllister, the punter who transferred in from Washington, he's entered the transfer portal this week.
What?
He did?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What?
Mitch, what's your sense of you know, you talked about maybe we would do more rugby style, which I love. But what's your sense, Mitch, of how Coach Eckler's changing things on special teams? And can us common fans finally start to hope that special teams won't be a liability for us?
Yeah, schematically, probably the biggest change that he's made is what they're going to do with the punter. And they are going to go rugby. I mean, unless something falls apart in the summer, and they're not going to suggest to their new transfer punter that the system won't work for him, unless they're very convinced that somebody is going to be able to come in and fill the spot that Jack McAllister is vacating by going in the portal. Nebraska does still have Camden Cook, and you need to have more than one punter on your roster, but unless something's changed with Cook, that's not his specialty either, rugby style punting. He's a traditional punter in the mold of his dad, Sam Cook. But Rule said they've got like a plan A and a plan B. I don't know if that means, you know, Eckler is going to be making a trip to Australia here in the spring. His punter at Tennessee, Jackson Ross, is an Aussie. Still there at Tennessee. I don't think that he's going to raid Josh Heupel's roster and go get his old punter, unless there's a really deep connection between the two of those guys. But no indications as of yet of anything like that. So I don't know where they're going to go, but they're going to find a rugby style punter. The biggest thing, like, overarching, that I think Mike Eckler is working to do with the special teams is just to make that group a priority. You know, all special teams coaches will try that and say that, but it takes a certain, like, level of energy and just, like, daily commitment at practice to and in the meeting room and in, like, everything that you do and just your vibe allow that to, like, seep into the roster. And that's what Mike Eckler's made a career out of. That's what he did at Tennessee. That's what he's done at some of his other stops. It's why he's coached at some of the best schools in the country and, like, just has continued to be able to move around and get the kind of jobs that he has. It's what made him, you know, so coveted when this position opened up for Nebraska after last season. So, yeah, I think that's the schematically, it's about shifting the style of punter and the way that you cover punts, because the what rugby allows you to do. And then from an overall perspective, it's about the attitude and the you know, the vibe that you have on special teams.
Well, Mitch, I got the most important question of this entire podcast today. Mm-hmm. With the spring game or whatever they're calling it now and all the different activities, the most important part of this whole thing is the Memorial Stadium garage sale.
Okay.
I myself, I'm hoping to get like a Matt Rule toaster, maybe a Mike Eckler foot bath, an end table from one of the coordinators.
Some
houses.
Really authentic. Like,
yes. I want some real garage sale stuff. What are you looking to pick up at the garage sale?
Do you want like Matt Rule's toaster? Like the toaster that was in his house?
Yes, that's what I want. Yes.
You don't want like a branded, like marketed, like a toaster with Matt Rule's face on the side of it.
I mean, I'll
A big N on the side of it. Yeah.
I really use a Matt Rule microwave, to be quite honest with you. If you got a microwave, I'd like to take a look at the wattage on that thing. I could really use that though.
Can I pick up like Rex Burkhead's shoes or something like that? I mean, you think those things are still hanging around? That's kind of more what I think the, Well, maybe you'll be able to get household appliances from the moves that the coaches have made over the years. Like maybe Rule had a toaster in his apartment that he was the university rented him out while he was getting ready to move into his house. I don't know. Yeah. That's a possibility.
A mini fridge.
I ate toast from the machine that cooked Matt Rule's breakfast. Yeah, I think it's more stuff that's like been hanging around the equipment room in like old boxes for a decade, and they just like pulled it off of a dusty shelf, and they're like, look, here's Ndamukong Suh's tape
practice jersey.
Something like that. I'll go take a look. I don't know. Until you brought that up, I hadn't really thought about what I wanted from the garage sale. If anything, I know some people who. If there's a long line, I'm out. Like I'm not, it's not worth that much to me. I'm not waiting in a line. I don't know. Next Saturday is going to be, an interesting day because Rule just kind of changed the game on us late last week when he said, hey, all that stuff about canceling the spring game, like, never mind. We're actually going to have a spring game. Just the starters and like maybe the top 50 to 60 players, like they're not going to do anything. They're just going to be cheerleaders. They'll do like the skills competition stuff. They're going to kind of look to do something like the Pro Bowl. So that'll be fun because I know everybody loves the Pro Bowl. And then they'll actually have the like third unit and on down, maybe even some second teamers go out there and play some live football. So it's like the thinking there is some of these guys aren't going to be on the roster, and he wants to be able to get some tape for them to allow them to help find spots down the road. And others are, you know, still battling out for positions at Nebraska, backup positions. And this is another opportunity for those guys to do that, but they're not going to risk anything like happened last year when Demetrius Hill or Demetrius Bell and Bly Hill went down with knee injuries, season-ending knee injuries in like a period of 5 minutes.
Yeah. No doubt.
Mitch Sherman, ladies and gentlemen, subscribe to The Athletic, subscribe to the Locked On Nebraska podcast on YouTube. Where else is the pod on the audio, Mitch? Where can they find Locked On?
Yeah, Apple, Nebraska, Spotify, everywhere you get podcasts, all for free. So nice. You can subscribe, just whatever. Set it to download it every day. That would be great.
That's right. Awesome. Always a pleasure, Mitch. Are you taking any time this summer? You can take a little vacation or go see the Royals play or anything like that?
Yes, all of the above. I'll see the Royals. Hopefully their offense is in a better position than it is right now when I see them in late June against the Dodgers. My son's last year of pre-high school select baseball, and so I'm savoring every minute of that, and we got a tournament in Kansas City, so into June I'll be there for that. My daughter's graduating from high school in a couple of weeks, so got a trip planned to celebrate that. So yeah, it should be an enjoyable summer, and then we'll be refreshed for Big Ten Media Days in Vegas this year ahead of the football season.
Nice. Well, you'll be very refreshed and you'll be energized to cover the season all the way into when Nebraska's in the CFP in, you know, and well into January when they're still playing, right?
Yes.
From your lips to everyone's ears around the state of Nebraska, right?
That's right. That's right. Thanks as always, Mitch. Fantastic conversation. Always love having you on. We will be back at you soon, Common fans. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.